Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. Eliza Hewitt wrote this song, and she wrote the tune herself. She was a teacher in the public school systems. She ended up getting a terrible spinal disease that caused her to be crippled for a while. During this time, she wrote songs for kids that had motions. Finally, she was able to heal from her spinal disease, and she focused her time working with children. Usually, she would write poems and have famous people in her day write the music for her, but this song, she wrote all by herself. Let's sing it.
Let us sing a song that will cheer us right away. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, we shall cross the billows home. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past.
Been memorizing the books of the Bible, haven't we? How are you doing on them? We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? I hope that you have been practicing each and every day. The more you practice, the easier it'll get. So here we go. Let's say it through again. Start with Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Good job! Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are called the Gospels. Those are the four books about Jesus' life. Then you have Acts. Do you remember what Acts is about? It's the stories about the apostles, right? It's the different acts that they did, the actions, the things that they did, preaching and healing and teaching and shipwrecks and being thrown into prison and singing in prison and being rescued from prison by angels. Those stories are all in the book of Acts. Then we have Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Those books were written by Paul. Paul the Apostle. Remember him? 1st and 2nd Corinthians are letters, kind of like emails or text messages, to the churches in Corinth. And Corinth was in Greece. So that's a really good review. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We're going to learn four more this week. Are you ready? All right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Can you say that? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, here we go. Let's say it again. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Good job. We'll continue learning them this week, but now it's time to get to our Bible study. Hello, boys and girls. I am so glad that you're back with me again. We are on week 16. Can you believe it? That's pretty exciting. This week's lesson is about Jesus' last visit to the temple. His last visit. We're going to learn all about that. But before we do, we want to make sure that we pray and we ask that Jesus and His Spirit is with us as we learn from His Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, come into our hearts. We want to take some time out of our busy day to spend with you. Please help us to learn and to understand. Give us a humble spirit and a teachable spirit. Amen. Tuesday was the last day that Jesus taught at the temple. By then, most of the people who had come to the Passover feast probably knew that on Monday he had driven the traders and their animals from the temple's outer court. But there was something else that Jesus needed to do before leaving the temple the last time. His miracles and his perfect life had proven that he was the Son of God, the true Messiah. His stories had shown how different the kingdom of God is from the kind of kingdom the people wanted. Also, he had shown what kind of people would be in the kingdom of God. The religious leaders knew that what Jesus taught was true, but most of them had refused to accept him. They didn't want to change their wrong thinking or the wrong things that they were doing. Some of the people weren't sure whether to believe Jesus or their priests and rulers. So Jesus needed to plainly tell them about the terrible sins of the leaders so that the people would know for sure who was telling the truth and whom they should believe. As Jesus spoke, his voice was kind and full of sorrow and pity. Still, he spoke with power and the authority of a king. Without any fear, he told about the sins of the leaders, and no one could argue against him. Everything he said was true. In fact, we can read about it in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew is the what book of the Bible? The first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? We've been practicing that, haven't we? Well, Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. So open up your Bible and let's turn to Matthew. If you need more time, just pause this recording and then you can find it and press play again. We're going to Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 through 36. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 through 36. Once you find Matthew, chapter 23 is towards the end of the book of Matthew. Once you find 23, we're going to just get started. Now, this is a lot of verses, and this could take a lot of time to read through. So what I'm going to do is we're just going to pick a few verses that we're going to read out of this entire chapter. But if you want, get together with your parents or with your grandparents and take some time to read through this entire chapter on your own, okay? It's a good chapter, and it's important to see how Jesus was exposing the Pharisees for who they really were. And when you read the entire chapter, you can get a good picture of it. We're just going to pick a few things. We're going to read verse 4 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. That's what we're going to read first. And Marissa is going to read this for us. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4 and 5.
They bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments.
So what were the Pharisees doing? They were binding heavy burdens hard to bear, putting them on men's shoulders. Do you think it was real burdens, or do you think it was all kinds of traditions and ceremonies and regulations, things that people had to do? If you didn't do this, then you were not a good Jew. That's what was going on. But here they were telling all the people to do this, and then they were turning around and they were not doing it. But then telling the people that if they didn't do this, then they were not going to be saved. But the Pharisees themselves didn't do it. Oh, it was very frustrating. It might be like somebody telling you need to always wash your hands after you use the restroom. But then when they use the restroom, they never wash their hands. Do you see how it could be kind of confusing and maybe a little bit frustrating? Yes. Here were the Pharisees that they would tell everyone what they could do and couldn't do, and then they lived by a different set of rules. Well, let's continue on. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 23, verse 6 and 7. What does that say?
They loved the best places at feasts and best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren.
So here, they were wanting to have the best place when they went to feasts or to banquets. It's almost like if you were to walk into your church and they're having a wonderful potluck meal and you walk in there and you say, I want the best spot and I want to go first. How do you think people would like that? Do you think that they would be happy? Or do you think they would be kind of annoyed and be like, who does that person think they are? That's what the Pharisees were doing. They wanted the best place. But is that what God wants for us? No, in fact, Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus wants us to be humble. He doesn't want us pushing for the best. He doesn't want us picking the best. He wants us to put others first and to be kind and loving to them. The Pharisees were always scheming. They were trying to figure out a way that they could be the best and get the best place. And they wanted that power, but yet they pretended that they were humble. Jesus saw right through it. Let's read verse 28. What does verse 28 say?
Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness.
Jesus was showing the people that the scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites. That means you say one thing, but you do another. They were hypocrites. They looked all perfect and wonderful on the outside, but inside, it was like they were dead. We were learning about cemeteries in New Orleans, Louisiana. That area is known for having lots of swampland. The ocean and the ground are not very much different. So the ocean can come in, especially when there's a hurricane or something, and it can end up going and flooding everything. So you know what they do in their cemeteries? Well, they don't want to bury people under the ground because with all the water and the mud, the people could become unburied, and then they're having these bodies floating around, which would be terrible. So what they do is they build these beautiful sepulchers. They're like a great big giant box that is made sometimes out of stone or out of marble. And they put people's bodies, after they die, they put their bodies inside these tombs. And on the outside, they can look all fancy. They can have fancy writing. They might have different designs of crosses or angels or different things on the outside. And on the inside, they're dead people, they're bones. And as time goes by, the people end up turning back into dust. So you have these big sepulchers that look beautiful on the outside, but inside are men's bones. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what the Pharisees were like. They looked all perfect on the outside. They would go around telling people what to do and pretending that they were all holy and pious and just had it all together. And yet, what they would do is, when nobody was watching, they would plan how to get the best spot, or they would plan how they could get more money. And one of the worst things that they were doing was trying to figure out how they could kill Jesus. They were planning to murder somebody just because they didn't like him. They were just like that sepulcher, looked all pretty on the outside, and on the inside, it was a dead form of religion. It gave them no life. You know, Jesus' words can be for us too today. He wants us to be genuine Christians. He wants us to be filled with his love so that we help others, so that we are kind to others, so we help those around us, so that we put others first. That's what Jesus wants for us today. Did you know that? But we cannot do it without Jesus. Without His Spirit in our hearts, we are naturally upset when somebody tells us that what we do is wrong. We are naturally wanting the best for ourselves. We naturally don't like it when our brother or our sister takes something that's ours. We want to hit them or snatch it back. But that's not Jesus' way. He wants us to be kind and to be loving to all those around us. I know I want to be like Jesus, don't you? I want to be a genuine Christian where what people see that I say is the same thing that I do. I want my actions to match my words. I don't want to just smile and say Jesus loves you. I want to be able to show them that Jesus loves them by helping them or by encouraging them. How about you? As we close today, let's bow our heads and ask Jesus to work in our hearts so that we can have His love for others. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You will give us Your Spirit today. Help us to be humble. Help us to be kind. Help us to be thoughtful and caring. Change our hearts from the inside, Lord. Give us Your peace and Your joy and Your helpfulness. We love You. Amen. We have a new memory verse this week. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and him my Father will honor. That means if we say, I'm on Jesus' side, I want to follow Him, I want to do His will, then we are to do as He did. We are to follow Him. As we learn how Jesus acted and how He treated others, that's what we want to do, isn't it? And He's promised that He will help us. And when we do that, then our Father will honor us. That's the honor that I want. How about you? Let's sing the memory verse together.
John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Let him follow me. Let him follow me. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and him will my Father honor. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Let him follow me. Let him follow me. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and him will my Father honor.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.